And I don't mean that in some charismatic way, but in an excitement way. Our new sermon series for the next several weeks is called The Great I Am. And it's hard for me not to get a little excited about God, who is the Great I Am. And this word I Am for us is this Hebrew Yahweh, and this self-existent one, this aseity. God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He has all the resources. This is the God in whom we serve, amen, our Redeemer. And so we are going to take a look in this series, The Great I Am, at these great I Am statements that Jesus Christ makes, proclaiming himself God, who he is God, but also there are many things we can learn from these seven statements he makes, all in the Gospel of John. And we start just in chronological order today in John chapter 6 and verse 25. You know, bread is an essential, isn't it? I mean, you think about bread as a food source for us, even in our culture. Every sit-down restaurant you go to, one of the things that they bring you that is usually just with the meal is some sort of bread. If you go to Texas Roadhouse, you can get a biscuit with some cinnamon butter. Somebody said amen. If you go to Longhorn Steakhouse, they come with a big loaf of bread and butter that you can eat. If you go to Olive Garden, they've got endless breadsticks at certain times of the year. If you go to a restaurant that has Italian food, just like Olive Garden, sometimes you get a piece of garlic bread. But bread is one of those foods that is so essential or so needed. Now, I know in our day and age that they'll say you should be on the Atkins diet or the South Beach diet and maybe bread, that's carbs. But in my world, in my mind, in Bryson Thompson's economy, bread is a good thing. Amen. And I'm going to eat it. And listen, somebody butters me a biscuit and I'm going to tear it up. Come on now. Praise the Lord and pass the biscuits. You know what I mean? But what I'm looking at here today is in the Jewish culture, bread was more than just an additive. Bread was literally the main food source. You can find throughout the Old Testament that bread, unleavened bread for the Jews, was their main source. And even if you couldn't afford good wheat bread, you could get the cheap barley loaf and you could have some sort of bread which would sustain you for a period of time, because bread is not only filling, but bread also does have those carbohydrates to give you the energy. But bread has just enough protein. It has just enough what God has intended for us to have to keep you living. And so we say it this way: would you like to come over to my house and we can break bread together? We say, listen, when we punish someone, sometimes we say, all we're going to give you is bread and water. A couple of chapters before John chapter 6, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman and says, he says, I'm the living water. What did she say? She says, give to me this living water. I want this. And now Jesus in John chapter 6, it's amazing. In the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus does the impossible. He takes just some little loaves and a little bit of fish and he feeds the 5,000. Then they go forward and there's a tempest on the sea and Jesus walks on the water. They get to the other side. They're like, we saw the disciples get into the boat, but we didn't see Jesus. How did you get to the other side? Well, Jesus has other means. And now we come to this place where they're asking him some questions. Hey, where did you come from, Lord? How did you get here? They just missed these same people, these thousands of people who just saw the miracle of the loaves and of the fish and the 5,000 fed. Now they're saying, how did you do this? And Jesus gives them this great I Am statement here in John chapter 6. We pick up reading in verse 25 today. John chapter 6, verse 25. When you find that, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word? Jesus Christ proclaims that I am the bread of life in these verses. And we read today, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now these are some of the same people who just were at the feeding of the 5,000. These are the same people who know Jesus got to the other side, but they have no idea how he got there because he didn't get into a ship. But they say, What sign are you going to show us? Christian, don't be so harsh on these folks, because we do the same thing sometimes. We believe that God is who he says that he is, but then something bad happens in our life and we want God to show up. We pray and we ask God to do something, but then we get into the business of trying to tell God how we want him to do it. Jesus goes on and answers in verse 29, This is the work of God, that you believe on him who hath sent. And they ask this. They said, but show us a sign. They go on in verse 31, Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They say, Moses gave us manna. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Heavenly Father, come into this place. Lord, fill us with the Spirit, that we might be a people today who, without seeing, have believed, but now believing would trust that you are verily this bread of life. Father, we ask that you would help us and guide us now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one, the first thing we understand and see about Jesus in this great statement, I am the bread of life. To the Jewish listener, it would have meant so much in two ways. First, he's proclaiming that he's God. I am the bread of life. Secondly, because of their love and understanding of the Old Testament and manna, they would have been looking for physical bread, but Jesus is going to give them a spiritual understanding of a physical fact. Yes, you need bread to live, but how many times did Jesus recount something about bread in the New Testament? He tells Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. At the Last Supper, he says, this is my body, and he takes the bread and break. Jesus goes on in the Lord's Supper, give us this day our daily bread. Bread is such an essential part of the Jewish culture and Jewish life. So when Jesus says, I am the God who gives you this bread, and he says, Moses didn't give it to you, but my Father from heaven, this would have been a shocking moment for these Jewish believers. It may not be so shocking to you, but it would have knocked the socks right off of these people. They should have went over and said, this man is proclaiming to be God. And that's what they would have been saying in their mind. They believed Moses, never seeing. They believed that God sent manna, never seeing. But Jesus has just performed this great miracle. He's just performed the impossible, yet they're still unbelieving. But I'm here to say and testify to you this morning that Jesus says, number one, he's indispensable. Jesus Christ is indispensable. He is essential for life. He can't be replaced. They talk about what work must we work? What mighty work do we have to do so that we can have this bread? And Jesus says, there's no work that you can work to get this bread. I am the bread of life. There is no amount of effort you can put in. There's no amount of things you can do. There's no amount of giving you can give. There's no amount of service you can serve. None of that matters in the economy of God. He says, I am the bread of life, which has come down from heaven. There's nothing in your legalistic, ritualistic kind of mind that you have, churchgoer, that can get you any closer to God, for he is the bread of life. He is all sufficient. He's indispensable in our lives. Jesus is indispensable. He's irreplaceable. He is the only God who is sitting upon the throne. And because of that, today he has proclaimed that I am the bread of life. Listen, as much as I love Popeye's biscuits, as much as I love to have a piece, anybody here grow up a little bit on the poor side, and you may have only had a little bit of the heel of the bread, and you just had to put some butter and some sugar on that thing, or maybe if you were lucky, you had a little cinnamon in the house. Maybe if you were like me when I was really small, we had the big welfare peanut butter in the big white jar that came out like glue and pasted on that piece of bread, but you ate that thing anyway. And you know what I learned about that? My grandfather used to say this. He has 5 children. They're all big bone, and they would always say, we were so poor, we could only have 1 sandwich. We had to split it up. And my grandpa said, y'all was eating something. Now listen, all I know about it is this. Bread can sustain you, but it cannot and it will not be as indispensable as the bread of life. I don't know about you, but the bread of life, Jesus Christ, is essential. He's indispensable in my life. There's nothing that can replace him. There's no one that can replace him. Listen, I love this church, but it cannot replace the bread of life, Jesus Christ. I love my wife, but it cannot replace the Jesus Christ, the bread of life. I love my children, but it cannot replace the bread of life, Jesus Christ. I love all the things that I have in my material world. I love my truck. I love my little dog. My little dog loves me. If I say, kids, it's dinner time, he's the first one into the kitchen. But listen, nothing is more indispensable than the bread of life, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's indispensable. Look at verses 31 through 33. Jews say, our fathers did eat manna. You know what they're doing? They're ritualistic. They're legalistic. They are religious. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he's just saying, truly, truly, it's true, I say unto you, yeah, Moses, he didn't give you that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This bread is not just to make you have life here on this earth. It's not just to sustain you and to make your belly full. This is to give you blessed assurance all of eternity. You know, it's interesting to me that Jesus is indispensable, and we see this indispensable act that he tells them about and he makes, but Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem, literally the word Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus is literally born in this place that is the house of bread, the house where Jesus Christ, the God of all the universe, came into helpless babe and became a living, breathing human being and forever remains that way. I love it on the Emmaus Road. People will say, well, Jesus didn't raise bodily. That was only a spiritual thing. Well, I don't know about you, but ghosts don't eat. And on the Emmaus Road, he says, children, have you any meat? And they broil some fish and some honey, and he eats it and he sups with them. And so my Lord is a risen Savior, and he's risen bodily, and he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's just good doctrine. If anybody tells you otherwise, you tell him there's a big ugly preacher down in Trotwood, Ohio, and he will go and stand face to face with him and go toe to toe with the word of God that we serve a risen Savior today. But listen, the bread of life, it's an indispensable fact, and it's something that we must grasp and get a hold of. Jesus says that this bread came down from heaven. And listen, it didn't come into your cabinet. You might call it Wonder Bread if you want to, but it ain't the brand. It's more impactful than the Wonder Bread. It's more impactful. I like to get mine at Kroger when it's on sale for $1.99 a loaf and swipe that Kroger card. Give me 2 or 3 loaves and take it home to all those children who are egregious eaters and they're eating all those things and they're spoiled and a little bit bougie. And Daddy, we don't want the heel. Listen, I don't care if they take the heel as long as they have the bread of life in their life. Because it's indispensable. It's an indispensable fact that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Yet these Jews, they just saw this great miracle. They have this lack of understanding. Rabbi, how did you get here? They have no idea that Jesus has walked across the sea. But I understand it, and I look at it this way. To be indispensable is not only to be irreplaceable, but to be indispensable means there is no other way. There is no other possibility. And Jesus says, if you take this bread, if you have this drink, you're never going to thirst. You're never going to be hungry again. You'll never, ever, ever have to worry. But watch this. Yes, it talks about taking it in salvation, but after you're saved, listen, I don't know about you, but I ate as a baby, I ate as a toddler, I ate as a teenager, I ate as an adult, I eat as a middle-aged man. Listen, just because you ate one time doesn't mean that it's not time to eat again. Come on now. I know it's only 9 a.m. service. At 11 a.m. service, when I start talking about that, they're going to be hungry. Stomachs will be growling. Amen. But watch this. We go back to the plate over and over and over again to be filled over and over and over again because we have this physical yearning and your stomach might growl or your stomach might be hurting or sometimes we just eat just because it's there. Come on now, I'm guilty of it. But watch this. Jesus Christ says, I'm the bread of life. You can keep on coming back over and over and over again, and you don't got to count calories or see how many carbs are in it. You don't have to try to trim this or take that. Sometimes people want to take the crust off their bread. You don't got to do anything to it. It's the bread of life, and it's here, and it's readily available. And even after your salvation, you can keep on coming back to this life-giving bread, to this life-sustaining bread, to this life-loving bread, to this long-lasting bread. It won't spoil. My mom and dad used to say, oh, it's just got a little bit of green on it. Just scrape that off. That's just penicillin. That was a lie from the devil. Amen. Anybody ever said that? My parents used to say that kind of stuff to me. But you know what? This bread will never rot. It will never go bad. You can always go back to it. It's indispensable. Then he says, I am the bread of life in verse 35. He's not only indispensable, but he's immortal. He's God. He says, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We talked about this word Yahweh in Exodus 3 and 14. Moses is talking to God in the burning bush, and he asked him, who is it? Who should I tell him has sent me? He says, I am that I am has sent thee. What does that mean? Just tell him that Yahweh. What does that mean? Just tell him that I am that I am. What does that mean? It just keeps on going in this thing, but all it means is this. It means I can't explain to you who I am because they won't understand who I am because it's kind of understandable. Because I'm supernatural and they're natural. They got a scientific mind and I got an omnipotent, all-powerful mind. And so just tell them that the self-sufficient, self-existing one has sent you. The one who can do all things by himself that doesn't need any help. Just tell them the immortal God of heaven, all their little gods like Ra, all their little gods that they had there in Egypt. Just tell them that the big God, the big Joker has come. And he said, everybody else is null and void. Just tell them that the one who created heaven and earth has come. Just tell them the one that created you and breathed into man's nostril and man became a living soul. Just tell them that's who sent you. And then God backs it up with those plagues and says, and let me show you what I can do that nobody else can do. And when your magicians and astrologers come and they try to do this and they send a serpent, watch Moses' rod turn into a serpent and eat their serpent up because I'm the God who created serpents. I'm the God who put a serpent on its belly because of the sin of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. I am the God of all the universe. I'm immortal. I am self-sufficient. I am self. Watch this. This is amazing to me. I'm self-serving. Oh, can we talk about food for just another moment here? I am a soft-serve ice cream connoisseur. Vanilla, chocolate, swirl, it doesn't matter to me. And when you go to somewhere and they say, would you like soft-serve? Of course I would. I'd like to have 2 of those. And I have 2 cones. It's delicious to me. But there's something about going somewhere where they have self-serve, soft serve. And you can just keep going to the machine and filling it up. I think I'll have another. Cone, bowl. Listen, sometimes you go somewhere like, I know, I'm going to pay for this because some of you just think I'm so weird for this, but I still love Golden Corral. And I can just go to Golden Corral and fill it up, and sometimes they've got little pieces of Oreo cookie, or if you want to get really weird, you can put gummy worms in it or sprinkles, and it's so delicious. I love self-serve. It's so good. It brings out the kid in me. And when it's self-service, that means anytime I want, I can get up and I can walk over because it's paid for, and I can get as much self-serve, soft-serve ice cream as I want. And you know God, He's a self-serving God. He doesn't need anybody's help. He doesn't need you to be a good person to be saved. He doesn't need you to be baptized to be saved. He doesn't need you, even though the preacher loves to have Bible readers in the church, He doesn't need you to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation to be saved. He doesn't even need you to be someone who understands the Bible. All God needs, because He's self-serving, all He needs you to know is what I know about soft serve ice cream, that it's good. He says, I am the bread of life. It's an immortal bread. And Jesus says to these folks, if you take of this bread, you're never going to hunger. And if you believe on me, you shall never thirst. I'm able to deliver this. And if you'll just come and take it, if you'll just accept it, you'll be filled up forever. And that's what I love about it. He's self-serving. And so God can keep on delivering on that promise day in and day out. You know why you can pray? Because God is the bread of life. So you can go to Him. When He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, what He's saying is, if you believe that I am who I am, if you believe that I'm the great I am, you can keep on coming back to me. You can keep on asking for more. Ask and ye shall receive. He says, if you just keep on coming, if you seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be answered. If you just keep on coming back to me, if you keep on just opening the cover to God, to the throne of grace and mercy, if you just keep on opening, there's always going to be the bread of life right there. There for you, grab you a slice. But He's also invitational. Look at verses 37 through 40. We did not read these verses, so look at these with me. Verse 37 through 40. He's invitational. He's indispensable. He's immortal. He's invitational. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I think that's so interesting. Jesus says, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, allow me a little latitude. Jesus never said this, and Jesus never had a bad thought, but it always brings me to this. If Jesus had a will in his flesh, sometimes, you know, I think Jesus, because he was perfect, he always did the will of his Father. But sometimes in his flesh, you know, Jesus wanted to say something to somebody. You know, in his flesh, in his humanity, because he's fully God and he's fully man, amen? He's both, that hypostatic union. He's just as much God as he is man. He's just as much man as he is God. And sometimes when these people came to him and said stuff to him, later in this chapter, they're going to say some stuff about him. And even his apostles at the end of this chapter, they murmur about him. They question about him. But, you know, there was times where Jesus was walking along the road and people had those thoughts. And sometimes they're not even canonizing scripture. And they're saying stuff like, is this not the carpenter's son? And, you know, in Jesus' humanity, it's like, is this not Mary's son? You know, in his humanity, Jesus wanted to be like, you talking about my mama? What's up? Don't you know how I... Wait a minute. What's wrong with being a carpenter? You know, in Jesus' humanity, there had to be these times, but he didn't come to do his own will. See, our will, what we want to do, is a lot of times overridden with what God wants to do through us. And Jesus never allowed that to assuage him from what he came to do. And so when he says that, when he says, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, that's a huge statement, because in our humanity, we like to do our will a whole bunch of times. Somebody was talking about my mama, or somebody was talking about my daddy, I'm ready to say something back. Jesus was just continuing on about the process. He just continued on. And you know what he was marching to the entire time he was on earth? He was marching to Calvary to die to pay for our sins. He couldn't be bothered with the menial things of the world, or somebody talking bad about him, or somebody hating on him. He couldn't be bothered with any of those things, because he loves you and me so much that he was too busy doing the will of his Father. And the will of his Father was that he would go and bleed and die to pay the price of sin for all humanity on Calvary's cross. That's a huge statement in John chapter 6. I didn't come to do my own will. Sometimes I like to do my own will. Anybody here like to do their own will? My wife says, hey, when you get home, would you mind doing the dishes? But you know what? Sometimes it just seems better to watch fishing videos. I don't want to do the will of my wife. Sometimes I just want to go downstairs and get on YouTube and watch who caught the biggest catfish at the tournament last week, you know? And my wife will say, honey, could you run to the store? I'm going to need some gluten-free Oreos. And that was the will of my wife. But once I got into Kroger, I did get some gluten-free Oreos, but I got some regular ones too. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because that was the will. And you know what my will was? Before I got home, I got to eat all the evidence so my wife don't know I got some of my own. I'm just saying that's how I do things. But Jesus Christ was perfect. He never did anything to self-indulge in himself. He only did the will of the Father. But because of that, he's able to do this. Watch this, verse 39. He's able to do this. He's able to be invitational because he remained perfect. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. That is the will of the Father. And Jesus says, I can't allow my will to get into the way of this. I can't allow what I want to do to get into the way of this, because I got to go to the cross and die to pay for the sins of people who can't pay for it themselves. You can't buy this kind of bread, friends. You don't got enough in the account to buy this kind of bread. You can't serve enough. You can't do enough to get this kind of bread. But what's interesting, this is an open invitation. He's invitational. He's giving it to anybody who would receive it. He's given it. A lot of times when they come to your table at a restaurant, they say, would you like some more rolls, please? Now, listen, after you've eaten so much, if you eat too many rolls before the meal comes, you're not hungry for the meal. You know what I'm talking about. Don't act like it's just me. You've been there before. And they come back, and you've had five or six breadsticks, and then your pasta comes, and you say, can I get a box? Because I've been full on your delicious breadsticks. Amen. But listen, when Jesus Christ says, hey, I'm coming back, you didn't have to accept those breadsticks. You could have said, no, I don't want anymore. But you just kept on accepting. Jesus Christ says, you're going to have to make a decision whether you will accept it. It's an open invitation. When they bring those breadsticks, it's an open invitation to receive them, to take them, or to say no. It's an open invitation. But watch what these Jews did after they saw the miracle of the 5,000, after they know that Jesus has got to the other side and they have no idea, after he says, I am the great I am, in verse 41, the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Some of you today need to be saved. Some of you today need to be changed. Some of you today need to be baptized. Some of you today need to get on fire for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but you're murmuring against him. And what your question is he really the bread of life which come down from heaven? Whether that's what you say out loud or whether that's what you speak with your lips, your attitude reflects gratitude. And he's saying, here's this open invitation to accept all the bread. Now watch, they might come to me and I might say, I don't want the bread, but I'm telling you right now something about me. As long as they'll keep on filling the bread up and bringing it and sitting on the table, you say, that sounds wasteful. No, 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 I already told you, I'm not too proud for a doggy bag. Boy, some people don't like leftovers. I grew up on leftovers. Anybody country like me, your leftovers were in Cool Whip bowls and country crock bowls, and you just, well, Tupperware was a foreign object in my house. We don't know what Tupperware is. I know ladies now have Tupperware parties and save Tupperware. I said, I can save you a whole bunch of money. What you do once you get done with that butter is you wash that thing out and you put it right up there in the cabinet. You get you some Cool Whip after you've used that on something delicious. You wash that thing out, put it right up in their cabinet. I got a million ways to make Tupperware, just saying. If you sell Tupperware, I don't mean to cut into your business. I'm just telling you how we do it in the Po country. Amen. It's an open invitation, but you have to be willing to accept it. I'm finished here with number four. Jesus is indulgent. Now, the word indulgent sounds different than what you might believe it to mean. It just is a way to say that he's satisfying. He's overly generous and lenient to those who would receive this. Now, watch this. This is a something that people mess up in theology. It's not predestined that all the elect are chosen of God. What's predestined is by the foreknowledge of God that those who are led by the Spirit, to them become the sons of God. It's not an irresistible grace. It's a grace that is abounding to all people. It's an invitation to all people. But watch this. But only those who will indulge in that invitation will receive the blessings. Only those who accept it. Listen, you can have the breadsticks put on the table, but if you never eat them, you never got the blessing. You can put the breadsticks in the doggy bag and have every intent on eating them when you get home, but if you let it sit in the refrigerator 2 or 3 days and then it's just time to clean out the refrigerator and you never ate them, you never got the blessing. Jesus is indulgent. Look at verses 42 through 51. We're going to read some scripture today. Jesus preaches the Bible much better than I do. Let's read it. And they said this, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he came, that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Imagine that. Jesus, they're talking amongst themselves and Jesus hears what they're talking about and he catches you up. Now, I know this would never happen to you guys. You ever been talking about somebody and they walked into the room and you had to get quiet real quick? It's kind of the situation that takes place, but only Jesus knows the thoughts that they're having. Murmur not against, amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I explain that theology because I want you to understand this. It's not that God's only sending this grace to some people. He's saying, no, they can only come to me except the Father draw him, unless you will hearken and soften your heart and will hear the word of God and receive the breadsticks. The breadsticks have appeared to all men, right? But you have to be softened enough to say, I want the breadsticks, and not just take the breadsticks, but eat the breadsticks. It's not a Calvinistic doctrine, and I want to be very clear. In verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. See that word all? Everybody's going to be taught of God. Everybody's going to get the opportunity. Everybody's going to get invited, but will you receive and take it? Every man therefore hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Jesus says it again. It's me. It's very clear. They didn't understand a whole bunch of stuff Jesus was saying. He made that pretty clear, didn't he? I am the bread you were talking about, that manna that was coming down from heaven. Do you realize the manna that was coming down in Exodus was Jesus Christ? He's the life sustainer, the life giver. And so it's obviously not him in physical form. I get that. I'm saying in spiritual reality, Jesus Christ, he's the active participating flesh of God. So even that manna that came down from heaven is the active participation of Jesus Christ in the lives of folks who would have otherwise died without that food. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. I love that. Jesus said, you can eat all the bread you want, but you're going to die. But unless you take this bread, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Boy, give me that bread. Man, I'm telling you, you can eat all the bread you want. You can eat that Harvest Gold. You can eat that Kroger brand. You can eat that Wonder Bread. I don't care what kind of bread you want to eat. You can get it on a biscuit. You can get a Kaiser roll. You can get barley. You can get rye. It really doesn't matter. You can toast it. You can fry it. You can put it upside down. I don't really care. But you can eat that bread and you're going to die. But if you take of this bread, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, you will never ever die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. But the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, if Jesus was in his own will, he'd be like, he would give that long pause. But not Jesus. Not my Jesus. Except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth this bread shall live forevermore. He's an indulgent Savior. He's generous. It's this bread that comes over and over and over again. He's the bread of life. He's the great I am. But I want you to catch this today. I think about our Savior. When we make an I am statement in our life, there's great power and impact to that. Think about it this way. Sometimes a father may say to a son who's not behaving or not listening, the father might say, "You listen to me. I am your father." Sometimes a husband and a wife may be discussing something, and the wife may be upset because the husband's not showing any attention, and she might say, "I am your wife." Sometimes you're struggling in life and you need somebody around you. You need a shoulder to lean on or to cry on. And somebody might text you and say, "Just remember that I am your friend," or "I am here for you." Think about this. These are impactful statements in our lives. When someone says, "I am," that's a guarantee. They're saying, the statement is, "I am telling you for sure that whatever comes after the I am, that is what I am." Now, it seems simple, but I want you to understand when God says, "I am that I am," he's reminding us that I am God. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," when he says, "I am this bread which came down from heaven," he's saying there's a 100% certainty that there's no other way to eternal life than me. When you say, "I am your father," you're saying you don't have to listen to everybody else, but you will listen to me. When you say, "I am your wife," you say you don't have to call and be peculiar to any other woman, but you will be peculiar to me. When you say, "I am your friend," you might have other friends, but in that moment, I'm the friend that you can count on, or I'm the friend that you can depend on. When Jesus Christ says, "I am the bread which came down from heaven," when Jesus replies and reminds them, he says, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die," he said, "I am the only way to heaven." And if Jesus is the only way to heaven, then he's the only way to life. And if he's the only way to life, then he's the only way to have a happy life. If he's the only way to have a happy life, he's the only way to have a blessed life. If he's the only way to have a blessed life, he's the only way to have a serving life. He's the only way to have a serving life. He's the only way for you to get over your problems and through your hard times and over the things that have gone wrong in your past. He's the only bread that you can go to over and over and over again, who's self-sufficient, who doesn't need your help, who doesn't want your help, who your help won't help. And he can do it all on his own because he said, "I am the bread of life." It's a great impactful statement this morning as we begin this series. We'll go through, and they kind of, not that any of them are more important than the other, they kind of ramp up and get us to this place that we'll end. This morning, I want you to major on this fact. Jesus clearly explained to the Jews here in the crowd who he is, who he was. And what they struggled with, many of those, even though they had seen the miracles, even though they had seen what's going on, even though their bellies were full off the bread that Jesus supplied physically, what they missed was the spiritual impact. And what I want you to get today is Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." But I ask you today, have you taken that bread? Have you not only taken the bread, have you eaten and digested the bread? Then maybe you say, "Yes, Pastor, I have eaten and digested the bread," but have you not only eaten and digested, but are you willing to go back to it over and over and over again and get full on the spiritual bread again? Listen, Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life, that you may never die," but watch this. We take that so physical, we take that so literal, and he does mean that he'll resurrect you, but Jesus can resurrect your problems. Jesus can resurrect your pride. Jesus can resurrect the things that are wrong in your daily life. Jesus can resurrect your testimony. Jesus can resurrect anything that goes wrong because he's the bread of life that came down from heaven, and anything from heaven is better than anything on earth, amen? So today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I come to you humbly.